Well, good morning, everybody. I think this is on. There I go. Want to welcome you here. I'm Dennis. I'm one of the pastors here as well. And if I haven't met you, I'm glad you're here. And we just hope you feel at home here today. We are going to do a little family time here today, and we want you to be a part of the family. We are going to be talking a little bit about our building project, as Pastor Dustin said. It's just at that point where we need to remind people or inform people of what is happening and why we're building on. Slide says gathered and scattered. That'll be when I get to the message part in a little bit, but it fits the building side of things. We've finished our series leading up to Easter on the Upper Room Discourse, and today's kind of a standalone little ditty. And then next week we're going to kick off a new sermon series around the faithful presence of God in and through His church, right along in our theme of sent, this idea of being a sent people of a sent God. So we're going to kind of wrap up the year with this idea of looking at God's presence and how it has manifested itself through Israel, through the church, through God's people, throughout all of history, and how He continues to do that today through His church and through each of us individually and corporately as a church. So coming back next week, we'll kick that off and start talking about that. But this week, we did want to spend a little bit of time just talking about the building project. Now, we are at that point, and I mentioned this last week or the week before, probably last week, because 2 weeks ago was Easter. We are at that point where it's the big stuff now, like the big walls are coming down and the big holes are opening up. And because of that, there's been a little bit of a ripple effect. I met somebody in the back today. They were looking for the toddler room. And I said, can I help you find where you're supposed to go? And they said, the toddler room. And I stood there and went, there, let's go. And I opened the right door. And I'm glad it was the right door. Earlier, I was walking out. I wanted to go get something. I needed a pole. We had a ceiling tile was up. I wanted to go get a long pole. And I knew there might be one in the back. So I went into the coffee bar and went through the door thinking it would take me to where my old office used to be, and it didn't. It took me outside in the new foyer. So I stood around and I looked and said, no, that didn't work. So I turned around and walked back in the door into the coffee bar, and I turned around and looked at the same door and walked through it again expecting a different result. Honestly, I was just dumbfounded. I stood there and went, still didn't work. But honestly, that was no joke. I stood there scratching my head going, okay, now how do I get there from here? Actually, I have to come in, go around, and go around that way. And today, we are going to open up this area back here, and we want you to take a tour afterwards. We're going to cut this a little shorter today and try to make sure you have time before you take off to go back there and look at it. And I'll tell you a little more about that in a bit. But I want to just remind you of what we're building here. So, Rachel, if you'd put up, I've got a picture. You may not be able to see this from where you're sitting. And I have this little pointer, which is not very helpful. The red line here is everything inside the red line is our existing building before we started the process. And we started talking, I don't even know how long ago, I don't know, Ron, how long ago did we start talking about the need to potentially build? A lifetime ago, Ed said, when they bought this building. This building was bought about 17, 18 years ago, was the old Elks Lodge. And you know what? We put a lot of time, effort, and money into this building. Up to that point, I think we figured out we put about $800,000 or more into it over those years and tweaked it as many ways as we could. And yet it was never built as a church, so we did the best we could, and we had things everywhere. Now, Pastor Dustin reminded me this morning. He says, you know what? One thing we've been saying all along is the building we are doing, the additions we are doing, is not a if we build it, they will come mentality. We are not building this monument to ourselves and our hope for what will happen down the line. We are adding on because of what we need now and for the next couple of years. That doesn't mean we haven't thought through more. There's another phase someday. And I always say your next pastor can take you there. And Ed says it's not going to happen in his lifetime. So nice knowing you, Ed. But right now, we are doing what we think we need to meet the immediate and intermediate needs of our growing congregation and our church. And Dustin also reminded me, and this is not true, hear me out, this is not true in the exact wording, but he said we had children in every broom closet in the building. We did not use a single broom closet, okay? For you parents, we did not. But we used offices, and we used spaces that were not intended for spaces. And we have our children in spaces that are safe but not geared towards them completely. And I have been a firm believer for many years that multi-purpose space in a church is okay. But for children and youth, they need a space that is geared towards them and to their age of development. And children need to come into a space where they feel welcomed, where they feel excited, where they see things that are geared towards their age, and for the youth to have a space where they can call theirs as well. Now, the youth space we use a little more multi-purpose, but we're going to be developing a children's ministry space that is set aside for children. And part of that is a safety thing. Part of that is that we need to keep our children safe. Now, through the years, we've implemented here, and we did up until recently, had a second check-in on the backside when you could come in there. But we are creating everything in the green here is dedicated children's ministry space. And I'm standing here right now. You're sitting here somewhere in there. Later, when we break, we hope you go through, and there's a couple ways you can do it. You can go down the hallway and turn into what used to be the nursery here, or you can go out this way through the coffee bar and end up in the new, if you go through the coffee bar, you're going to end up in here, which is the new fellowship hall and foyer. If you come, I'm confused now, if you come this way and go in here, this is where the old nursery used to be, just on the other side of this wall. This is sort of opened up. This wall still is there. It's coming down soon. But Ron's going to open up, or has opened up, the tarp. So you can stand out here and see through here. And there is still a little wall here that has to come out. But basically, this will be the main entrance over this way. Come in here, turn this way. There'll be a double door here, a double door here into the sanctuary. This will be closed off here. And then that's your entrance. This is where you're going to start coming in. And this is the check-in counter right here. This white area right here is the check-in. You can see that dot. That check-in counter for our children's ministry. And you'll be able to tell. We've kind of laid out something to show you where that will be. You'll come in. Parents can peel this way to check in their kids. Adults can go this way. The coffee bar will be right out here where this is now. So as soon as you come in, these stairs aren't here anymore. You come in, you turn, you get your coffee. You help yourself and feel comfortable coming in, and you come in this way into the sanctuary. Now, this wall back here is coming out, and that will be opened up. Our old foyer is gone, our new foyer has come, and this wall will come out, and we'll get some more seats in here to alleviate a little bit of crowding when it gets a little tighter, and we hope it will continue to get tighter as we grow, and that's the case there. Now, what I'm excited about is a lot of things. One is that we have a foyer that will give us more space to gather. We'll use this for the hall out here will be for our fellowship gatherings as well. Right now, if we want to have a potluck for the whole church, we have to tear this room down and do it here because our fellowship hall, the way it was, wasn't big enough. We can do it in here, but it's a lot easier if we can have church in here and set up for something out there at the same time. Or we could have a funeral in here and care for our community in their moments of need out here and then have the food ready to go out there. Now, this is the kitchen right here. So if we gather out here, we'll do this food service out here most likely. You can come get your food, go out here and have a seat and enjoy your time of fellowship. What I'm excited about, too, is it may seem like a lot, but we got 5,200 square feet. Now, these are all new classrooms added down here, and these are being reconfigured for the nursery here, toddler room here. We're going to have 5,200 square feet of dedicated children's ministry space to make sure our kids are safe, well-loved, taught well, but also we don't want this to sit empty 164 hours a week. We're hoping that there are other agencies in town that need children's ministry space, and this will be geared to help them as well. Not only have we not built something that if we build it, they will come, because a lot of churches have lost their shorts on that. We had a church in our conference of churches a number of years ago. They were asking for a big loan to build a church that seated 600 people. And I was on the committee to approve this loan or not. And I said, so how many people does their current sanctuary hold? And they were building 600. And they said, well, it seats 400. I said, what's their average attendance? They said 150. And I said, well, why don't they fill up the 400 seat first before they start thinking about the 600 seat? We're not building hoping people will come. We're building, like I said, to meet the needs that we have. Now, our children back there will have a wonderful space. It's beautiful. It's bright. It's geared for them. It's not geared for me. My office is not going to be the same color as back there. But it's good for the kids. So this is going to be a beautiful space for kids. And after we break, we're going to ask that you take a few minutes, go out there and look around and kind of listen. Ron and Warren will be out there and some of the others of us who can tell you what's going on. We're going to encourage you to check that out and look at it. Go stand in the new foyer here and look this way and just get the feel of coming in. We're going to ask that you pray as you're out there. You know, you don't have to make a big deal of it, but just as you walk through, pray for all the things that will happen here. Because for as many things as happen here for our church, we hope as many, if not more, things will happen for our community and that they can use it. And there are, and I've said this before, there are community groups that come to me regularly and say, we're waiting to see when it's done because we can't wait to use it. So we want to make sure that this space is functional for lots of different things. Now, we've back over here is the youth room and the new offices. If you haven't walked through there, you get to walk through there as well. But after you go out and wander around, we're going to ask that about 10, 15 minutes after we break, you go get your kids so they don't get left back there. But at that time, once the kids are picked up, you can go back into the children's ministry space and look around as well. Right now, things are functioning not as they're meant to be, we're in the interim period of time where things will happen. So that's kind of what we've been going through. A number of you, and you know, if you thought this, you're not alone. This out here is not the new sanctuary. Some people say, well, it's so big, it must be the sanctuary, but it's weird shaped. Well, that's the entranceway, that's the new foyer, it's the new fellowship space. We're gonna have it set up so we can have smaller classes out there. And I'm going to charge $5 a person to get parents to watch their kids play soccer out there when it's raining instead of sitting out in the rain. So I'm going to put them right in front of those big windows and let them look out and watch their kids. It looks right over the soccer field. It's perfect. And somebody says, well, maybe it's an outreach. You know? Maybe you shouldn't charge them. Maybe you should just give them a free cup of coffee. And now, okay, fine. We'll do that instead. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. That's the big picture stuff. So we can go there. Now, I was at a conference about 2 years ago called Centralize in Kansas City. Rachel, you can just go to the... we do have copies of this in the back for those who haven't been around long or don't remember what it's supposed to be, if you'd like to grab a copy of that. But I went to this conference, and we had a lot of speakers, and I was sitting in the balcony with Cam Roxborough, who is a good friend who works with Forge Canada and with the NAB, and a couple other pastors, and one speaker got up and said, we need to sell our church buildings and get out in the community. We need to get beyond having these buildings. We just need to get out there and do what we need to do in the community and not worry about these church buildings. And so we're all kind of sitting there going, okay, we should sell our church buildings. Wow. Okay. Next guy gets up and goes, we need to get out of the community and build buildings where people can gather and get together and learn and grow and reach each other's needs. And the guy next to me goes, didn't the last guy just get rid of those? You know, like, so there's this mentality of gathered and scattered. Are we called to be gathered or are we called to be scattered? And this is not even a correct title. I would say we are gathered that we could be scattered. That we gather together and that we could be scattered. And, you know, I just want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. I will not apologize for the fact that we're building on because the Lord led us to build on. And he has brought growth into our community here, and he's called us to do that. But we also built in our building with the mindset that we will bless our greater community. So we want to make sure that we continue to do that. It's important that we do and follow the Lord's leading in our life. And we really do believe that this is what he's called us to do. This was not a haphazard thing. It was done with much prayer. In our leadership, it was done with much prayer with you folks, and we came to this conclusion together. So we're going forward, and we're excited about what it will be. I'm going to look around. I was hoping a couple people would be here. I don't think they are. Colin Hill, are you in the room? Colin's not here. Will Brand, are you in the room? No, dang it. I need a pilot, and I needed an air traffic controller, and those are my guys. So. I was going to have him do a little something to help us make a point here. But the simple point was, if you had to sit in a plane, and I was down in California this week with our NAB brothers and sisters down there, and I was in a plane, and the question would be if, you know, Will, you're the pilot. Any other pilots in the room? Anybody else have a pilot license? Who's that hand? Where? Back there. That's Ruben. I can see you. Is that Ruben? Ruben, stand up. Last time I'll come to church. You're getting ready to take off, Reuben, and the air traffic controller comes on and tells you something. There's a new rule from NAVCAN. And I could have had you and Clark up here. And he says, new rule says you can only fly with one wing. Which one do you want, the left or the right? What? You're not going to fly with one wing. Now, they wouldn't say that. You can sit down now. I'll let you get a little more comfortable. You're not going to take off with one wing. Both wings, when you're flying in a plane, are somewhat important, right? True? I'm totally uninformed. I'm not a pilot, but both wings are important. And this idea of are we gathered or are we scattered is two wings of the church. We can't say that we gather together just to be warm and filled and fill ourselves and be happy here and us four and no more. And we hold the gospel and protect the gospel and keep it here. And that's it. Nor can we go out and say we're going to go out into the community and we're never going to gather together. And that's it. I think both are faulty, left to themselves. We need to be gathered and scattered. We gather together that we might scatter. And as we scatter and as we grow and as we bring people to the hope of the gospel, we gather back together. Now, I've shared with you, we've reached somewhat a pinnacle point about a year or so ago, where just around 51, 52% probably of people that walk through the doors of this church for the first time are doing so because they had a connection with somebody outside the church first. And then they walk in. And then I actually challenged that point even a few weeks ago when I said that somebody challenged me that said that, you know, the next 70% of people that come in here already know somebody in your church and they're watching them to see if they're real and they're true and authentic. But the simple fact is when we scatter in our neighborhoods and we care for our friends and our coworkers and our classmates and our teammates, the simple fact is that they may well end up here with us. They may walk with us. They may come and join us. They may find out what this whole faith thing is about, and they may come join us in this. I want to read to you, and we have this on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, you can turn it to what we call the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. So if you have your Bibles, you can take them there. As we've come out of the Easter, last week we talked a little bit about this idea that Jesus so often met with people for food, even in the post-resurrection time. This is one of those last moments when Jesus is speaking after his resurrection, before his ascension. And this is one of those passages that we hold on to very firmly as the church. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" And this is called the Great Commission. We call it that because God is commissioning, Christ is commissioning his followers to go out and to initiate or further initiate his kingdom and to create the New Testament church and to be salt and light, to be his examples out there and to bring people into a knowledge of everything. And I've heard many missionaries say that the key word here is go. You got to go. You got to leave home and go. And any brothers or sisters in Christ that I know well who have a heart for discipleship, they emphasize the go and make disciples part. And some would say what it really means is as you go, make disciples. But some would say that's still outside the church. I think the simple fact is we are called to go and we are called to make disciples. And the reality is if we go outside of the church and make disciples in our neighborhoods and we make disciples in some foreign land or whether it's in our neighborhood or our city or some foreign land somewhere, whenever you call people to the good news of the gospel and you start to disciple them, something happens. Spiritual community forms. And you can call it whatever you want, but it is called the church. And it becomes congregations of the church. It happens everywhere. You can make it illegal, and it happens. It happens in China, and it happens in communist nations all over the place where it's illegal to do so, but yet they create these things called house churches and underground churches and tomb churches. The reality is that it happens. So we will not apologize for coming together and being together as the church because it's what he's called us to do. Now, a lot of people say, I love Jesus, but not the church. That was a big phrase a number of years ago, but it's still around. And still a lot of people say, I love Jesus. I'm a very spiritual person, whatever. But I just don't like the church because it's full of hypocrites and bad people and people who are just not nice or not right, or not perfect. And the reality is that that is true, that the church, folks, is a mess. Because it is for and full of human beings, including me and you. The church is a mess, and it's supposed to be a mess. Now, I'm sure I've shared this with you, but a few years ago, I was sitting in my office, and I had a panic moment, and I mean a truly panic moment, where literally the blood just drained out of my head into my heart and then down to my feet. And I remember just in tears saying, Lord, we are building a house of cards here. I mean, I was just thinking about all of us. And I'm not going to point at you and you and you. I was thinking about all of us. We're a house of cards. We are put together at best to create something bigger than ourselves. And the next thought was a house of cards can easily be blown over. A house of cards just barely touched falls. And I said, Lord, what are we going to do? And I really felt like, you know, and I say this all the time, you know, and I had a moment this week where God spoke to me. And God does speak to all of us different ways. He speaks to me in a certain way. And there's certain things that I hear that I remember because I know it's God speaking. And God said, yeah, I know it's a house of cards. And I said, God, you're okay with that? And the response I heard was, yeah, what else are you going to do? You're dealing with people. Broken, hurt people. What else are you going to do? You're building a house of cards. A messed up group of people coming together to create something bigger than themselves. Anybody in here messed up? Thank you. I don't want to be alone up here. We're messed up. We're a mess. And yet God pulls us together and allows something to happen. Why? I don't know. How? I don't know. But he pulls us together as a mess. There's a gentleman I've met a few times. He's out of Portland, Oregon, but I didn't know him when I was there. His name is Brad Watson. He's a part of a kind of a series of community churches there in Portland called Bread and Wine Communities. And I just want to read you what he wrote. He said, he's talking about them processing this where they were very missional out in the community. Community groups only, no gathered church. And talking about that, he says, we show folks from the scriptures how the church cannot be confined to a once a week meeting. We taught people that evangelism, shepherding, teaching, and discipleship happens best out in our neighborhoods, over meals, in gardens, at work, at the everyday normal pieces, everyday normal pieces of life. If all that is true, what is the point of gathering the church on a Sunday? It seems obsolete, doesn't it? In fact, he goes on to say, in our effort to show people the breadth of what life in the body of Christ is, we unintentionally narrowed it. In our teachings on who we are in Christ and how we live obediently as we make much of Jesus in everyday life, we didn't include a gathering of the church as a consistent rhythm or part of regular life. If we are the church, why do we need to get together and hear a sermon? If we are the church, why do we have to get together for singing? Isn't that stuff getting in the way of us being the church? If real discipleship is life on life in community and on mission, how does a worship gathering fit? It seems counterproductive. Here's the kicker, he said. If you are serious about a scattered missional church, you have to gather your communities regularly in one place. And then he goes on to say, what happens when you do? Your gatherings reorient our worship. Our hearts respond and proclaim truth we believe and struggle to believe. We are challenged and invited to worship the one true God. In many cases, the singing, taking in communion, hearing the scriptures taught, call us to repentance and is the first act of repentance. We return to worshiping God instead of ourselves, other gods, and our idols. Worship gatherings are rhythmic celebrations, reminding us of who God is and what he has done. Our worship gatherings pause our hurried lives. And listen to this part. Our worship gatherings pause our hurried lives that are filled with mission and community and remind us clearly of who God is, what he has done, and who we are. And even though you're out on mission, you're doing the right thing and you're loving your neighbors, you need to come and get a rest from that even. And be reminded that it's God who's in charge of that, not me. It's not me that's going to change my neighbor's life. It's God who's going to change their life, and he might work through me. And yet we still need to come and take a deep breath. Everything we do when we gather reminds us of the gospel, who we are because of the gospel and our role in God's mission. We proclaim the gospel in song. We hear the gospel in preaching. We pray the gospel understanding and repentance. And we touch and taste the image of the gospel in communion. The elements of worship gathering, of a worship gathering, remind us of the gospel. Then he goes on to list a whole bunch of stuff. What happens when we gather? We sing songs of praise, adoration, and thankfulness. When we sing in one voice, we are unified together. We share in communion together. It reminds us of what God has done for us. Proclamation of the message of the scriptures, which is in the gospel. We hear and we are taught in that. We baptize new disciples and believers. And we did that just last week with a couple folks. We celebrate in baptism. We pray together. We pray today. We continue to pray over many people who need to be prayed for. We hear what God is doing in the church, testimony, and sharing life together and encouraging one another through, I might be struggling, but you're hitting a home run. And I'm encouraged by that, that God does work in and through us, despite the fact that we're a mess. We commission new teams to do different ministries. We pray for people as they go out into their workplace and their home place. We clarify doctrine to make sure our doctrine is correct, and that we're not just creating our own because it feels good or because it's easier. We collect giving that the gospel can go out into our community and the greater world, and that the ministry can continue. And we prophesy over one another. And that's not, I read a scripture and I think it's a prophecy about it. It's just speaking truth in each other's lives based on what we know from scripture. And then Brad lists a whole bunch of things. What happens when you don't gather as a church? Lots of discouragement. Lots of discouragement because you're not there to encourage one another. We lose sight of the gospel and the false gospel sneaks in. If you're living it out there and you're not gathering with other people to correct our theology and our thinking about God and his ways, it's easy for us to think that we got it all figured out because we like something or we're tweaked towards something or because it seems easier. We forget God's mission and all that he's doing in the city because we're not hearing about it. We misunderstand God's story, what God has done and who he is and where he's going. We stop loving one another and doing good deeds to each other and for each other and with each other. We experience isolation and all that comes with it. False worship, forsaking one another, loss of love to others, unity and submission. We miss out on that prophetic voice of speaking truth in love to one another. So as Christ summarizes this and he comes to his followers in those last moments, hear these words again. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. And I always love this part. It's been given to me, but I'm sending you. I have the authority and the power. You now go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, like we saw last week, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. All the teachings of Scripture, we come here to learn together. And one of those commandments, the very last one he gives is to go and make disciples, to continue the process over and over and over again. For those who, you know, you may not be in the room if you feel this way, but you say, I love Christ, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Well, guess what? Jesus loved the church enough that he died for her. It's his bride, and he died for her. I have a good friend who is very active in the missional world, and I was starting to worry about him and how he felt about the church, and he kind of came around from that, and I was so thrilled one day when he stood up and he looked and somebody was asking questions at a conference, and he turned and he says, if you have a problem with the bride of Christ, you got to go through me first, but really you got to go through Jesus first. So the church may not be perfect, but the church is still and always will be the bride of Christ, and we are called to be a part of that bride. And the bridegroom pours his love into us as his bride. And we're called to scatter for sure. Be in our neighborhoods. You know I feel that way. Am I good at it? No. Do I want to be better at it? Yes. Do I want to figure out how to do it in the natural flow of my life? You bet. Does that mean I don't think we should gather here? Not in the least. For all the reasons that Brad Watson gave, all the reasons that we can think of, we gather together to encourage one another, to grow, to teach, to solidify, to prepare our people to go out. And it's kind of, you know, you think about it in the sense that we are a hospital for the spiritually hurting. We are a training ground for the missionaries in training to go out. And I'm not talking to Africa. I'm talking to the South Fork and the South Park and to Caledonia and to Tribute and to Meadowview and to Robinson. And let me go, Corinthia Park and Lindsford Park and Willow Park and Alexandria and Windrose and Bridgeport and the Shores and West Haven and the new one out there that I don't know, Woodbend or whatever it's going to be called, and Suntree and Windrose. Did I say that? Windrose and Leduc Estates and Leduc, whatever that other one is. I think I got them all. And Beaumont, Deer Valley, I forgot that one. Somebody had to say it. Deer Valley, I'm sure I forgot others. And Beaumont and Kalmar and Millet and everything in between. Edmonton, wherever we're called to go, that's the mission field. But we gather here that we might be prepared to go out there. We go out there that we might come back and share the stories of excitement of what God is doing. And because we're building a building doesn't mean we're any less missional. And I'm sick of having to, I've had to justify that with some people. I've had people say, you're missional, why are you building a building? Because we're growing. And God told us to. I don't think one is makes the other one mutually exclusive. You know, they're not mutually exclusive of each other. They go hand in hand. And I want us to be excited about what God is doing here. I'm excited for what this building will be. So, as I said before, we're going to give you a chance to go out and to look around. We're going to have, you know, I encourage you to go out this door and in there, or go out this way and in there. Find Warren or Ron or Dustin or me or somebody that sort of knows what's going on, somebody from the building committee. We'll try to figure it out, but you may not come to me after I told you how lost I was today. Just follow me out that door three times and we'll find our way to wherever we're going, okay? But when you go out there, I ask that you look around, that you get a feel for what it's going to be, but I ask that you do something else. I ask that you pray for what will happen in this space. That can be just a silent prayer as you're walking through. If you want to grab two or three people and pray for what will happen, please do it. Pray for what will happen as the body of Christ meets in this place, but pray for what will happen as we open up this facility to our greater community to meet their needs, to love on them, to be there in their moments of celebration, in their moments of despair, to be there for the training of the things they need to be trained for, to do what they do in our community. Let's pray that God would be honored and glorified in all those things. And as we go, let's make disciples, let's gather together to make sure that we are being discipled, and let's do the best we can. I was gone this week for about 3 days. I was down in Sacramento area with our NAB leadership group there, about 50 leaders from the NAB, North American Baptist, our denomination. I wrote about it in the newsletter. You can actually, if you don't know any of our history, you can read a little bit in the opening article there, the newsletter. But as we go, as I went, I was encouraged more than I've ever been encouraged by our NAB gatherings. I've been a part of NAB for 35 years, and I found myself smiling from ear to ear because I'm excited about the direction and the unity in our leadership there. And basically, they're looking at two things. They're looking at a spiritual formation and missional engagement. And they say, if we're doing anything as churches working together, we're going to grow spiritually, and we're going to engage our community. And I just thought it's very similar to walking intimately with God and inviting others to journey with us. So that's what we are existing to do. And our building will help us with that. It's not about the building. The building, if we didn't have the building, we would still do that. But the building will be a great resource for us to help us do that well. So let's be blessed by it because God has provided this opportunity for us. I want to pray for us. This team's going to come and sing one last song for us. Fits in sort of with where we're Matthew 28. Jesus, hope of the nations and hope of the neighborhoods. Maybe we should change the words, Murray. Hope of the neighborhood. Would neighborhood fit in there? The same? Would it flow? You can sing neighborhood if you want, but Jesus is the hope of the neighborhood, the hope of the nation. And then after we break, I'll just give you a quick last little ditty at the end to tell you how to go out there and see it. But put your coats on. It's a little chilly out there. Walk out there, take a look, see how things go, and enjoy just seeing what God is doing. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are, what you've called us to. We thank you for your faithfulness
and your presence with us through the 27 years of this church's history, the 18 years of owning this building, and the last 4 or 5 years of really walking this process through of growing facility-wise. But we thank you for 27 years you've been working in the people of this church to be on mission with you wherever you plant them. And Father, we would ask that we would gather well so that we could be scattered, and that in our scattering we would gather back together to praise you for what you're doing. And that as we come together, our worship would be rich, our communion would be real, that our community building here would be something that people would not want to live without. Even though we're a messed up house of cards, Lord, you are choosing to work through us. And we have to give you the praise, honor, and glory for that, because it cannot be done by us. So we thank you for that, Lord. And we ask in excitement and joy to show us your vision for what we can continue to do into the future. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.